Let's just say Thursday into Friday has a very weird, nostalgic, sad, but yet celebratory mood all combined into one. Because I'm sure you guys are aware with everything that's going on here, not only with COVID-19, but how it's affecting your business, how it's affecting our business, how changes are on the horizon. Many of these changes painful. Many of these changes beyond unfortunate. But today's topic is going to be inspired by two guys that I have great respect for, two guys that I consider very good friends, and two guys who have done their job and are getting that ultimate ride into the sunset. And that, of course, is Mr. Maestro Harris Allen. And, of course, the McMahon John Minko, who will be working their final shifts at WFAN. Harris will wrap up with us, how apropos. The McMahon, one last time, will be taking you through the afternoon. And I've been working with Harris Allen for a long, long time now. Going all the way back to basically when I started in 2011. And listen, Mink and Harris have gone about their style so differently. But that's what makes radio so great. That's what makes our business so great. To try to compare, whether it's a radio host, whether it's an anchor, whether it's a play-by-play guy. I say it all the time. I love Al Michaels and Brett Musburger. Icons. Pat Summerall, that commanding voice that he brings for years doing NFL football games. But then you get a guy yelling and screaming like Gus Johnson and Kevin Harlan. And guess what? I like that style too. It just goes to show you in this business, there are many, many ways to skin a cat. And there are many, many ways to do it at the best of your craft, the top of your game, all of that combined into one. I mean, I'm jealous of Harris Allen's pipes. I mean, let's call it like it is. That is a good set of pipes, if I say so myself. And that's like a voice that I have grown accustomed to hearing. We have gotten into it at times when it comes to sports debates. And listen, I think Harris knows exactly what he's doing, because after having a season for the ages when it comes to picking NFL football, he is literally pulling the move that I've seen from so many top athletes over the years. Harris, that's why I'm going to bring you back to make picks all the time, because there's no way I'm going to allow you to ride off into the sunset, at least when it comes to your picking game skills. When it comes to your illustrious radio career, and we have two coming to an end, that's where I'm going to give you all the props and all the praise known to man. Because you've been a great friend. You've been a brother. I know that celebratory dinner is going to happen at some point. I don't know when it's going to be. Because right now, we're all stuck in quarantine. Right now, we're all stuck in lockdown. So, you know, the idea of us all going with steakhouse, listen, wouldn't be possible, number one, and number two, it would be frowned upon. But as I said to you and Mike Fliegelman, I want to say about a month and a half ago, that trip down the Garden State Parkway, that trip for a steak dinner, some lobster tails, the craps table, the blackjack table, maybe a couple of sports bets mixed in, that'll absolutely happen. And I'm a man of honor. When you finish in last place, or you don't finish in first, you pick up the tab. So we're going to have to combine that into a first place dinner for the Maestro and a celebratory send-off. And I know I speak on behalf of all of you, and I know Mike Fliegelman's going to share his thoughts later in the show. We have a couple of surprises that we will get to a little bit later on, but Harris has been a big part of the show. And he's been a big part of what we do, and he's a part of the overnight family. So I'm going to miss him dearly. It's like weird, and I got to admit, it was like weird for me, like hearing his voice. Like it's any, you know, normal night. Signing on the air at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. Listening to Harris Allen. Soothing, relaxing, therapeutic. And like reality has not set in yet that come Monday, when I'm back here with Fleegs doing what we do, that voice is not going to be there. So we'll have Harris join us a little bit later on. He's got to work right now, so I know he's getting busy. Hopefully he's not listening right now. I'd prefer if he doesn't. I don't want to distract him. I don't want to get him emotional until the end of the show. Then we can get him emotional, okay? But a salute to two WFAN legendary voices. John Minko, who I'd hear in my car for like the last 20 years of my life. And one of my good friends in the business, a man I'm going to miss working with dearly, the great maestro, Harris Allen. Now, today's topic, because Harris, remember, gave me my material for yesterday. Harris gave me the material, not me. Where I was inspired by something that he brought to the table. Well, today's topic is in a way going to be inspired based upon all the living legends calling it a career. Harris Allen and John Minko, who actually isn't calling it a career. Because Mink will still be doing St. John's basketball. So I want to make sure I get my terminology down to a science, okay? I want to make sure I do that. But we are going to mix in some sports because that's what we do. And that's what we do night after night after night. Even on nights when there are no games going on. And we're all a little stir crazy. And we've all been in our houses and our apartment way too long. And guess what? It ain't ending anytime soon. But today's topic is inspired by the Mink Men. It is inspired by the Maestro. And over the last hour and a half, as I'm sitting down and reading The Last Night of the Yankee Dynasty, terrific book. I watched an episode of Homeland. I did some work on my puzzle. I got to show you guys the progress. I might put it up on the Instagram story just to let you guys know, you know, I'm actually making some progress here with this puzzle. And I'm actually pulling my end of the bargain, which is something I'm very, very proud of. But I was brainstorming athletes. Some New York athletes, others who were at the top of their craft, who were able to have that sort of storybook ending, who were able to ride off into the sunset, doing it their way. And the list that we were able to put together, at least me and, you know, my crack staff of all the, you know, people that are in my brain right now, I'm actually pretty proud of this one. There are a bunch. Now, again, I always like to start with guys from my time period, with guys from my era, and you easily start with the great Mariano Rivera. Because Mariano Rivera hung it up at the end of the 2013 season, and even though that 2013 season did not culminate in the Yankees going out and winning a world championship, in fact, it didn't culminate with them even making the postseason. Mariano Rivera, in a year in which he's getting the farewell tour from every stop along the way, was still at his very best. For a good majority of that year, you would not have known if we were talking about Mariano Rivera from 2013 or Mariano Rivera from 2009 or Mariano Rivera from 2005. That's how terrific his final last season was. Throwing one pitch, still closing games, looking like a pitcher who easily could have gone out and pitched another 2 years, another 3 years, another 5 years. Rivera, in his final season as a closer, consider this, had a better ERA than he did in 2000, than he did in 2001, than he did in 2002, that he did in 2007. Now, it's not the best for his career, but for a guy that was on the north side of 40, to go and save 44 games and pitch to a 2.11 ERA, only 0.02 lower than the dominant year he put together in 1996, where he bursted onto the scene. Mariano, to me, fits the description of an athlete that could not have gone out in a more honorable and in a more dignified way. There was never a shadow of doubt with Mariano Rivera about the top of his greatness and the peak of his greatness. Now, Jeter had the storybook moment to end his career. I think we can all agree on that. The timing, the final game, the weather forecast clearing, the way that final game played out. I was in the ballpark that night. I was in the ballpark actually for Mariano's last game and for Derek Jeter's last game. And it was like the end of an era officially for the New York Yankees. And I got to admit, Rivera's final year was better because he was far more himself than Jeter. Jeter's final year, let's call it like it is, he was completely shot as a player. He was shot. He hit 250. He had no power. He had absolutely no range at shortstop. And listen, the Yankees weren't any good. So it wasn't the end of the world that you were running Derek Jeter out there. But it was pretty obvious when Didi Gregorius came on the scene the following year and kind of found his footing, and you saw the range that he had at the position, the way he was moving around and whatnot, it was like, wow, we were dealing with a guy in 2014 who was ready to retire and ready to go in Derek Jeter. So I'll give him that storybook ending, yes. But if you're going to ask me who had the better send-off to their career, to me, it's Mariano Rivera. Now, there are more. So Jeter's ending takes the cake. His final season does not. How about John Elway? John Elway, in his final season with the Denver Broncos, and we know this is a very harsh reminder for anybody who is a New York Jets fan. John Elway's team had the number one seed in the AFC. They smoked Dan Marino and the Miami Dolphins. They played the Jets in what was a very competitive AFC title game in which they were down 10 points. Denver came storming back. They rode Terrell Davis, beat the Jets. Keith Byers fumble. I don't want to relive that. I know you guys don't want to relive that, at least tonight. But then Denver went on to that Super Bowl in Miami, taking on Chris Chandler, Jamal Anderson, the Dirty Bird Atlanta Falcons. And for one night down in Miami, it wasn't about Terrell Davis. It wasn't about the Broncos defense. I think John Elway knew in the back of his mind, this is going to be the last football game I'm ever going to play. And I'm going to go out, not just as a guy who's kind of holding on. I'm going to go out my way, doing what I do, and I'm going to do it at the very best that I can bring to the table. And it was a turn back the clock type of moment for John Elway. That send-off, winning back-to-back Super Bowls, putting together the performance that he did, it was the perfect, perfect, perfect way to go out. And a lot of people wondered, is it a given that he's going to retire? I think it's fair to say John Elway made the right choice, not hanging on, not coming back for that next year. There's another guy who ended up riding off into the sunset, and he rode off into the sunset, still at his very best, probably could have played a little longer, but when you consider how his life after football has played out, it ended up being one of the most genius and one of the best possible moves one could ever make. Who would that be? Michael Strahan of the New York Football Giants. And remember, that 2007 season, it was a rocky, rocky start for Strahan. Reportedly, there was all sorts of bad blood with Tom Coughlin. Is he going to be able to make it work? Is Coughlin going to be let go? Is Strahan ever going to buy in? Strahan was always a great player. Always was a top-notch defensive lineman. But there were those questions about his attitude at times. There were questions about the way he would openly call out members of a coaching staff or players on his own team. Strahan was one of those guys who really didn't give a you-know-what, which had its pluses and minuses. But Tom Coughlin and Michael Strahan, they finally broke through to each other. And you got the very best of Strahan one last year in 2007. And I think a lot of people watching that 2007 season probably didn't really give it much thought that it could be the end for Michael Strahan, that it could be the end of his playing career. But as you watch him play throughout the year, playing alongside Osiu Mañura, watching guys like Justin Tuck and Matthias Kiwanuka grow and grow and grow, it became obvious. Strahan had a chance to have that perfect storybook ending. 13.5-point underdog, taking on the New England Patriots, winning that game, having a great Super Bowl, the defensive line, being in the middle of everything. Instead of coming back and trying to run it back in 2008, Michael Strahan saw the golden opportunity in front of him and made the most of it. And it is amazing now to look back on a guy who was a Hall of Fame player, a guy who had a terrific, terrific Giants career. He is now more popular in what he does, starting with Kelly Ripa, then doing Good Morning America. I mean, Michael Strahan is basically this megastar in the media business, a guy who will probably make way more money in his life after football than he did during his life as an NFL player. That does not happen. And really started with the idea of beating the Patriots, having a great year, riding off in the sunset, and making the most of those media opportunities. So I don't know. Harris may have, you know, a life as the next host of Good Morning America. He just doesn't know it yet. Maybe he's going down that Michael Strahan route.